Well, hello. I'm Dr. John Lloyd, and it's my privilege to introduce Dr. Alexandre Mara, the speaker for today's Weber teleclass, which is being sponsored by Deb Limited. Dr. Mara will speak to us on strategies for improving hand hygiene compliance in the intensive care unit. Dr. Mara graduated from medical school in 1996 and completed a residency in internal medicine in the year 2000 in Sao Paulo, Brazil. He received Master's of Science and doctorate degrees in infectious diseases from Sao Paulo Federal University in 2004 and then completed a postdoc fellowship in infectious diseases with Dr. Richard Wenzel at the Medical College of Virginia in 2006. He then returned to Sao Paulo and started his career as an ID physician and hospital epidemiologist at Hospital Israelita Albert Einstein. Dr. Mara has published numerous articles on ID-related topics in the major medical and infectious disease journals. It was his article entitled Positive Deviance, A New Strategy for Improving Hand Hygiene Compliance in the January 2010 issue of Infection Control and Hospital Epidemiology that caught my attention and connected me with Dr. Mara. He will tell us about positive deviance, or PD as we call it, during his presentation. Dr. Mara first learned about PD in a book given to him by the medical director of his hospital in Sao Paulo. The book was Atul Gawande's Better, A Surgeon's Notes on Performance. In a chapter entitled On Hand Washing, Dr. Mara read about work in which I and many others were involved in using positive deviance approach to prevent healthcare-acquired infections in hospitals in the U.S. He then learned that one of the hospitals using PD was Albert Einstein in Philadelphia, and he had the opportunity to discuss their work with them at a Society for Healthcare Epidemiology of America SHEA meeting in 2008. After reading more about PD on the Positive Deviance Initiative's website, Dr. Mara and his colleagues at Einstein in Sao Paulo created a prospective randomized clinical trial of PD focused on promoting better adherence to hand hygiene. This well-designed clinical research study compared the use of standard hand hygiene protocols in one unit with standard protocols plus positive deviance in a similar unit in the same hospital. The result was reported in the January 2010 issue of Infection Control Hospital Epidemiology, and it represents the first randomized clinical trial of PD in healthcare. So Dr. Mara and his colleagues have expanded their use of PD to prevent healthcare-acquired infections and have published several subsequent articles in major ID journals. We now have the unique opportunity to hear from Brazil's PD pioneer and infection prevention expert, Dr. Alexandre Mara. Alex.
Hi, everybody. Before I start, I'd like to thank Dr. Weber for giving me the opportunity, and Dr. John Lloyd for introducing me and to present my contribution in hand hygiene. Let's start. First slide, please. My disclosure is I have nothing to declare. Next slide, please. My outlines are to discuss the intersection of ICU and hospital epidemiology, to discuss about hand hygiene considering study designs, to show some strategies for improving hand hygiene compliance, and to show you what is positive deviance, and to show you the battle between the lab and the clinic. Let's carry on. Next slide, please. I'd like to begin pointing out that there is a gap between what is in evidence from the research and what really happens in our everyday life as healthcare workers. Next slide, please. I would like to emphasize that I agree with evidence-based medicine. But evidence does not make decisions. People do. Next slide, please. I'm sure you are all familiar with this study design. A prospect randomized control study. This is, in my opinion, the best way to conduct a study. Next slide, please. I decided to include this image to illustrate the hierarchy of evidence and to emphasize that the control group is the key for the answer that we expect in our studies, in our clinical trials. Next slide, please. A very nice article published last year shows us the interaction of the three specialties in medicine. All of those specialties started in different times in medicine history: intensive care, hospital epidemiology, and evidence-based medicine. Basically, there is an intersection among them, and for the safety of the patient, it's tremendously important to work in a multidisciplinary team in the ICU setting. Next slide, please. I will discuss the overlapping meaning of those three concepts regarding hand hygiene. Next slide, please. There are a lot of CDC guidelines and a specific recommendation for hand hygiene. The first one was in 1994, and it was updated in 2002. And there are other recommendations applying hand hygiene in our scenario of the infection control. Next slide, please. Hand hygiene is considered a category 1A, strongly recommended for implementation in all hospitals. But hand hygiene compliance has a poor evidence. It is only category 2. Next slide, please. Here we go. Our ICU patient. Many devices. Many opportunities for hand hygiene. Next slide, please. Here we have a study showing us different ICUs. Next slide, please. From developing countries, and Brazil is one of them. Next slide, please. There is a very high bloodstream infection comparing these ICUs from US data. Next slide, please. And comparing with Brazilian scope, a bloodstream surveillance program. Next slide, please. These images comparing US data and Brazilian data brings that something needs to be done. A very high mortality rate. It is necessary to intervene. And one of the most important interventions is to perform hand hygiene. Next slide, please. I'm sure that all of you know that hand hygiene is a major infection control prevention. But the compliance is less than 50%. It is very low. There are several most common reasons for non-compliance, and we need to intervene in them. Next next slide, please. Remembering Semmelweis, he made hand hygiene mandatory for healthcare workers, doctors, nurses. At that time there, an interesting difference in maternal mortality rate between the first and the second clinic of his hospital. And this difference was provoked by an intervention performing hand hygiene, the simple method that we perform every single day. Next slide. And we are not able to increase the compliance for hand hygiene. And next slide, please. As we can observe, after 150 years, GDAPT show us a very low hand hygiene compliance, principally in ICU. 36% of ICU compliance for hand hygiene. Next slide, please. This is to illustrate that from all the process measures that we intervene for preventing infections in hospitals, hand hygiene is one of them that we do not have success comparing clinical and surgical ICUs. Next slide, please. Here is our scenario for wash our hands. Next slide, please. We have a lot of hand hygiene opportunities, and for each opportunity, we can spend 60, 80 seconds for performing hand hygiene if we wash our hands. Next slide, please. Here we go. Alcohol gel. It is quick, easy. You can spend 5, 15 seconds for using them. It is prex and easy. Next slide, please. Comparing hospital around the world, our compliance is low. Again, less than 50%. Next slide, please. But you know what needs to do. What is the best evidence for improving hand hygiene compliance? Next slide, please. We are starting at the beginning. It's difficult in an ICU or in a hospital setting to perform this study design that is considered in the pyramid top, a prospect control study. But we need to try. Next slide, please. I will show you some studies for discussion. Next slide, please. From Richmond, Virginia, from Dr. Michael Edmond, my mentor, implementing alcohol gel was a nice strategy for improving hand hygiene compliance. This is a historical control cohort study. But again, the hand hygiene compliance is less than 50%. Next slide, please. The hand hygiene compliance is being replaced by alcohol gel. I promise you that it will be the last time that we'll talk that hand hygiene compliance is again less than 50%. Next slide, please. This is our experience in Brazil. Healthcare workers are using much more alcohol gel for hand hygiene than chlorhexidine, as you can see in yellow, the alcohol bars. Next slide, please. Here we have the number of studies related to the type of intervention, and two of them met the inclusion criteria for analysis. A lot of interventions, education, new products, education plus feedback, isolated or combined strategies, and why? Why only two of them met the inclusion criteria for analysis? Because they had an adequate control group. And in the next slide, you can see the first one of those studies performed as a hand hygiene intervention educational sessions about hand hygiene. And they had a successful intervention. Next slide, please. And the next slide is the second one using the same intervention, educational session, working with nurses. And differently, they had a successful story to tell. Next slide, please. Here we have the principal limitations of hand hygiene studies when we evaluate hand hygiene compliance using observers. Sorry, we have less than 50% of hand hygiene compliance, even considering the Hawthorne's effect. And the majority of our hand hygiene studies, they consider a short time of outcome with less than 6 months of study. Next slide, please. Actually, observer is considering the gold standard, but I want to introduce other measures that you can show for hand hygiene compliance. There are very nice articles from Elaine Larson and a recent paper from John Boyce at Infection Control Hospital Epidemiology in October in this year, discussing about the volume of products in liters per 1,000 patient days and using the electronic hand wash counters. Next slide, please. Our experience in Albert Einstein, São Paulo, Brazil, is that the episodes observed represented only 1.3% of the estimated number of hand hygiene opportunities. We also observed a strong correlation between number of dispensing episodes per patient days, as you can see on your right, and alcohol-based hand rub consumption per patient days. There was no correlation between the rate of hand hygiene compliance and alcohol gel consumption per patient days. Next slide, please. We believe that directly observed rates of adherence are not so accurate, because they did not correlate with mean volumes of product usage, assuming that the number of opportunities for hand hygiene is relatively stable. We performed 60-minute hand hygiene observation in each room. For example, in week 10, the observed rate of hand hygiene adherence was 57.1% of opportunities. The overall rate of hand hygiene adherence for the entire study was 62.3% of opportunities. The mean number of dispensing episodes per patient day, as you can see in week 10, was 95.7. The mean number of dispensing episodes per patient days for the entire study was 53.8. And the total product consumption, 131.2 ml per patient days, was the highest in the study in this week 10. Next slide, please. And this is what we don't want for our patients: transmitting infections with our hands. Next slide, please. Some studies give feedback to healthcare workers about their hand hygiene adherence. And in our study at Albert Einstein in 2007, using infection control in two step-down units, 20 beds per unit, and using electronic counter devices for hand hygiene in each room. Next slide, please. There is no difference considering hand hygiene consumption in both units. Each unit, the intervention unit using feedback, and the wet unit, our control unit. Next slide. And no difference for healthcare associated infections considering PSI, UTI, and pneumonia. Next slide, please. And our strategy has changed. Not only feedback, but also something more. And I'm showing you a new philosophy that Dr. John Lloyd told you in my introduction. It's positive deviance. Our first contact with positive deviance, with PD, was through reading two books written by Atuga Wand. On your left, complications. In your right, better. Of course, after these two books and exploring more, making searches at Google, we found the Positive Deviance Initiative. Next slide, please. And we found the origin of Positive Deviance. Positive Deviance, pioneered by Jerry and Monique Sterling of the Positive Deviance Initiative, has been used worldwide to combat such intractable problems as childhood malnutrition, sex trafficking of girls, and poor infant health. Next slide, please. And then, in every community, there are certain individuals whose uncommon praxis, uncommon behaviors, enable them to find better solutions to problems than their neighborhoods, who have access to the same resources. Next slide, please. And in Positive Deviance Initiative, we find the PD for controlling EMRC. In each balloon, different color, different initiatives using PD. One of them, More Than Me, that is the title of the article about the strategy for controlling AMRC with PD in Pennsylvania, United States. Next slide, please. Here is the positive deviance approach, totally different from the traditional approach. In PD, the healthcare workers decide how their work should be done, and they promote the discovery among their peers. On your right, you can see the pyramid. The leadership and the managers support them for implementation of changes of the new ideas in our routine. Next slide, please. We began our positive deviance study for hand hygiene in the step-down units, considering one of these units as our control unit in 2008. Next slide, please. Our PD meeting includes healthcare workers from all shifts, morning, afternoon, and night. At least one representative healthcare workers attends from each shift. Meetings are held from 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. During the meetings, the positive deviants, they are called in this way, and they are very proud to be part of this project. Next slide, please. As you can see, the positive deviants discuss the general problems that they noticed. Example, Dr. X did not wash his hands before a patient examination. Dr. Y not perform hand hygiene even after examining a patient in contact precaution. There are different positive deviants at each meeting, with an average attendance of 35-40. Anytime you have more attendance. Next slide, please. Participants discuss ways to stimulate a discussion with non-compliant individuals in a positive manner. No embarrassment is permitted in our project. One of positive deviance ideas, and I'm illustrating here, with to put alcohol gel dispensers in the mobile X-ray machines. As you can see, next slide, please. The nurses' managers facilitate the discussion and give the positive deviants opportunities to express their feelings about hand hygiene and to discuss what needs to be changed, what needs to be improved, what is wrong and what is right. They are very excited to see the final number of alcohol gel dispenser per step down unit and to compare data and their impressions. about hand hygiene. Next slide, please. And here we have an intervention, positive deviance, to sustain improved hand hygiene compliance in our setting. And next slide, please. Our ICU evolution, we achieved more than 50% of hand hygiene compliance. Next slide, please. The WHO makes an extremely nice job about hand hygiene around the world. My five moments for hand hygiene. Incorporating a lot of institutions to participate in this hand hygiene program. Next slide, please. My five moments for hand hygiene was found and I discussing by our positive deviance for improving hand hygiene compliance. The positive deviance are multipliers, which we believe is factor contributing to the success of the PD program, changing healthcare worker behavior. Next slide, please. And here we have a very nice example. What we need to do, what we need to put in practice, what we know, and not only to say in simple words. Next slide, please. My five moments for hand hygiene, here in Portuguese, is a very nice example of translational science. We have the knowledge, use alcohol, gel, in all these opportunities. But nothing happens in your units. Nothing will happen in your units. You need to change it. We need to find solutions, innovations, for applying these five moments, my five moments, for hand hygiene every day. Next slide, please. And this chart illustrates that putting in practice translational science could be a good opportunity for university to lead this challenge. Next slide, please. Translational science involves all aspects for helping and improving our patient safety in a patient zone. Next slide, please. And to finish, I am showing you the humanitarian mission that you participate in Haiti, finding the children as our positive deviants for spreading hand hygiene, even in a disaster scenario. I would like to thank you all for listening, and I hope that this presentation helped you in some way. Thank you so much.
Alexander, thank you very much for that. It was a very interesting presentation, and I really appreciate how much work and how much focus you gave to positive deviance. I know that Dr. Lloyd was very involved in that. How long of a process was that to convince staff in your facilities that they had some power and that they could use positive deviance to make some changes?
We are working with PD, with positive deviance, in our institution since 2008. At the beginning, we decided to apply the PD only one unit, and the project was a success. And we are obliged to put positive deviance in the other unit. And now, in 2011, we are applying the positive deviance in our ICU in our step-down units, and we are performing a multicenter study with positive deviance in each more 7 centers. And one of these centers from Thailand.
What would you say is the most significant effort that you've put forward? Is it to put alcohol gel dispensers everywhere? Is it to institute positive deviance? Or is it to use the 5 moments for hand hygiene program? Was there one thing that was more important to you than any of the others?
I believe that it was like a bundle. Every information, all these changes, helped us to putting in practice the PG in our unit. For example, our positive deviants, they are very proud to contribute with their ideas. They are changing experience about hand hygiene compliance, giving different ideas and different ways. For example, changing the pressure of the tap water. They found out that there is a different pressure in the taps, in the step-down unit rooms. And they controlled this with the hospital engineers. Now they are working together. They made the decision to put alcohol gel dispensers in corridors. And with this simple measure, they increased our consumption in 40%. Having the control of the alcohol gel dispensers, they are very creative, and they prepared a laminated sheet of my 5 moments for hand hygiene, and they are incorporated this laminated sheet in the first page of the medical charts. Another good example we have in our step-down unit, a nurse call system, and now they are using the nurse call system when the nurse enter and go out of the room for at least 2 uses of alcohol gel before and after contact of the patient. And now this relation between alcohol gel and nurse call system is more than 3.
Like all other hospitals, you had some protocols for infection prevention. Your hospital had introduced, for example, Six Sigma before you started your positive deviance hand hygiene initiative. And you have, from what you have reported, successfully integrated these 2 approaches in your work. And you've referred to Six Sigma as the head and hands and positive deviance as the heart and soul of your infection prevention work. Could you elaborate on that? I think it will also help answer, give us maybe a different slant to answering Paul's question.
Oh, yes. That's a very nice question. Six Sigma was put in our ICU in 2008. And one of the strategies was to change healthcare worker behavior. And our strategy was to put positive deviance together with Six Sigma. And in my opinion, the positive deviance was better than Six Sigma because with positive deviance, we could use all the creative, all the new ideas. To my mind, the healthcare workers, they had more control in their units. They are changing ideas with our medical directors. And I showed you one slide with our CEO participating in our discussions. And positive deviance was incorporated in Six Sigma, but now we are applying only positive deviance because it's simple, it's easiest. and you can, it's democratic positive deviance.
It sounds like the approach that the Veterans Administration Hospital in Pittsburgh took, and I think any of these lean approaches, once they are introduced, really don't go away. They are elegant in their ability to, and very effective in their ability to deal with technical problems. And other hospitals have actually integrated them, and I suspect, based on what you've reported, that a lot of the efficiencies that you gained in your Six Sigma work created time that enabled your staff to have these two-hour meetings once a month and be asked those powerful questions that you ask them. What could you do in your own line of work as a housekeeper or a dietary worker that delivers food to the room and removes empty trays, a nurse, a doctor, anyone who comes in contact with patients and their immediate environment? What could you do in your own line of work to prevent transmissions? And most hospitals, the frontline staff of most hospitals really are not asked those kinds of questions. And what you did is ask those powerful questions and not only actively listen to the answer, but create an environment in which your staff could discover what was already working and figure out ways to amplify that within your hospital. And I'm intrigued by the fact that feedback of data alone did not really change the checks and balances of the way people worked, and it really didn't produce much more product usage or hand hygiene episodes. Certainly in contrast to feedback and the empowerment of the, or unleashing the power that was already there in your staff to enable them to discover and spread the hidden solutions that were already there among them. And I think it's, you know, we say that if you don't measure it, you can't control it. Now, I think you've proven, and others that have used this approach for fostering behavior and social change have demonstrated that just because you measure it doesn't guarantee that you will control it or improve it. Measurement alone, without ownership, is mere recreational data gathering and an incredible waste of time and resource. So it's the combination of tapping into the wisdom and the unique expertise of the frontline staff, the people who actually spread the germs, and those that have figured out ways of avoiding transmission, tapping into that wisdom and those specific strategies and behaviors and enabling them to spread those strategies throughout the hospital is, and then coupling that, having the whole process bathed in data, I think is a pretty remarkable achievement.
Thank you. I strongly agree with you. Other healthcare workers, including physicians, physical therapists, speech pathologists, and nutritionists, they became interested in PD. And now, specifically, they were concerned about not transforming the PD meetings into tedious discussions with new PD concepts for new participants. Consequently, they are applying other techniques in this process for managing meetings in which all participants get an equal voice and consensus is developed in each meeting.
Alex, you've also organized a multi-center study with several hospitals in Brazil and elsewhere for improving hand hygiene using the PD approach. Could you tell us a little bit about, I know it's fairly, it started fairly recently, but could you give us an update on that?
Yes. We began this study in August this year with 8 centers, public and private hospitals in São Paulo, Brazil, and one hospital from Thailand. a friend of mine, Anusha, Dr. Anusha, is participating with us. And we have a pre-intervention from August to August, September, and October, 3 months of pre-intervention. And now we are putting in practice since November 1st the PD approach in all these hospitals, considering hand hygiene. We are using observers, but using iPods, and Dr. Lloyd gave us a good idea using the iScrub for avoid the Hawthorn effect. And we are using two metrics, the observers and the volume of products in liters per 1,000 patient days. And our study will finish in July 2012.
Are any of these hospitals in a specific region? Have you taken a regional approach in this multi-center study?
Yes, we used our approach. We gave us all the literature about the PD. We showed them the Positive Deviance Initiative website, because it's extraordinary website with a lot of interventions using positive deviance. And we are performing meetings with the coordinators every month. And now they are applying the positive deviance since November. Every 15 days they have a meeting and they are discussing all the strategies. And Gojo is helping us, help us giving the support for one iPod for every center, for each center that is participating in our study.
Alex's work with his colleagues in Sao Paulo and the way it's spreading into other regions in Brazil is I think it is a very important contribution to this effort, and colleagues in two hospitals in Colombia, in Bogota and Medellin, have also replicated the results of the original hospitals in the U.S. and have accomplished pretty much what Alex and his colleagues have accomplished in Sao Paulo.
Dr. Lloyd, thank you very much, and Dr. Mera, thank you very much. Thank you again to Deb for their support. And we'll talk to you all again very soon. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.